Welcome to Pod Summarizer, the way to summarize your favorite podcasts. Today, we have a summary of Mel Robbins. In this episode, Mel introduces Monrovia, a guest whose life story is both compelling and inspiring. The discussion revolves around themes of suffering, belonging, and the transformative power of sharing one's journey. Listeners can expect to be moved by Monrovia's humility and the empowering message he brings. Remember to follow us on X and Instagram and on our website, podsummarizer.xyz. And now, let's begin.
You're about to meet someone unlike any other guest who has ever been on the Mel Robbins podcast.
Life is full of suffering, but it doesn't take away from you belonging in it. Talking about my stories and the music, all I do it for is for you to know that your time here is meant.
Crooked the road.
His name is Monrovia. You and I are going to be swept away not only by his story, but by his humility, his compassion, and the message that he is here to tell you today. It's a message that's going to leave you feeling loved, empowered, and clear. Mon's life story sounds like a movie, and every bit of it is true. How do you process the survivor guilt?
Move from a place of blame to a place of, I think, claiming this opportunity. It was a gift. If you stop now, you'll never know the groups of people that are waiting to bring you into that fold, or the lives that you're going to impact in this life, on this journey. And so I believe that you're meant to be here, and I hope you continue.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I don't know why I'm going to cry, but I'm so proud of you.
We might steal the sun from underneath our eyes.
Hey, it's your friend Mel, and welcome to the Mel Robbins Podcast. I am on the edge of my seat. I am so excited for our conversation today. I'm excited that you're here. It is always such an honor to spend this time together. But today, the fact that I get to meet somebody that I've admired at the same moment you get to meet them, that is just a thrill. And if you're new to the podcast, I wanted to personally take a moment and welcome you to the Mel Robbins Podcast family. I'm so glad that you're here with me right now. And because you made the time to listen to this particular episode today, here's what I know about you. First of all, I know that you value your time. So it means a lot to me that you made the decision to hit play. And you're going to be so happy that you did, because something magical is about to happen. And if you're listening right now because someone shared this conversation with you, it's because I was right. Something magical did happen in this episode, and they wanted you to experience it too. And so does my incredible guest today, Monrovia. Monrovia is a phenomenon, a one-of-a-kind musician from Tennessee who has carved out time from a busy touring schedule to be here for this special conversation. You and I are going to be swept away not only by his story, but by his humility, his compassion, and the message that he is here to tell you today. It's a message that's going to leave you feeling loved, empowered, and clear. Mon's life story sounds like a movie, and every bit of it is true. Mon grew up carrying a history and feelings that he couldn't fully explain until he found music. And now his music is finding people all over the world. I mean, just look at his TikTok. His videos have 17 million likes, and a bunch of them, they're from me. And what he's creating doesn't just cross genres. It crosses continents, generations, and life experiences. Mon blends his Afro-Appalachian roots with raw personal storytelling, a sound so distinct, so grounding and folksy singer-songwriter, it earned him a spot on Spotify's 2024 Juniper Artists to Watch list. He now reaches over 1.5 million monthly listeners on the platform, proof that his voice is resonating way beyond the stage. And a Monrovia concert? That is something to behold. He has sold out every headline show he's ever played. He's taken the stage at Bonnaroo, Austin City Limits, and the legendary Newport Folk Festival. This year, this rising star is going global with a sold-out European tour that he just completed and U.S. appearances at major festivals, including Boston Calling and a return to Newport. I mean, this guy is a rising star. But more importantly, there is so much wisdom, not only in his music, but in his life story and what he wants to share with you today. That you can take whatever has happened to you in the past and make something beautiful out of it. So please help me welcome Monrovia to the Mel Robbins Podcast. Monrovia, I am so excited to meet you in person. Thank you for jumping on a plane. Thank you for being here. Congratulations on all your success. I am so excited to talk to you.
Oh, it's a complete honor. And I'm really just stoked to be in this place with you right now. So thank you so much for giving me space to tell my story.
I would love to start by having you speak to the person who is with us right now. This is somebody who doesn't have a lot of time, but they have hit play. They're making the time to learn from your story, to learn from your wisdom. What might they experience that could be different about their life if they truly take to heart all of the wisdom and lessons that you're about to teach us from your own life journey?
Yeah, I think something that I hope for just that one person is to know that life is full of suffering, but it doesn't take away from you belonging in it, that you have such an amazing part to play in the scheme of things. And so, talking about my stories and the music, all I do it for is for you to know that your time here is meant.
How do you cultivate that belief? And I'm sure we're going to get into it. If you're in a place in your life where you are really suffering, how do you get yourself to believe that you're meant to be here and that there's something bigger for you?
I think it comes back to memory. And if you can think of your life and the things you've already come through and you're still standing, you're still, regardless if you're on the floor, you're still here present with us. And memory is an important part of the art of continuation, knowing that you've come through things already and believing that you will again till you get to that place where maybe you're more, you know, fulfilled and strengthened is the ways I've kept myself going forward.
For somebody who is just meeting you for the first time, you know, I was introduced to you through a very, very dear friend of mine. I have been following you online for 18 months. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Your music does feel like waking up from a dream. It immediately makes my shoulders drop. I am so excited to see you exploding in terms of popularity and the recognition for your music. But for the person who hasn't heard you sing, has not heard your music, does not know your story.
Reflecting on the power of memory and resilience, the conversation shifts to the rich tapestry of musical heritage. As we delve into the unique blend of Appalachia folk and Afro-Appalachian influences.
You call yourself, in terms of the music, I've heard it called Appalachia folk.
Yeah, Afro-Appalachian.
What does that mean?
I mean, I live in Appalachia, so like that tail end down in Tennessee, and I'm from West Africa, Liberia, capital city, Monrovia. And, there's a lot of history in Appalachia with, you know, the slaves that came over, the Irish, the Scots, and the mountains, you know, writing these songs together, the banjo, all these things mixing together in culture. And, you know, I didn't even know a lot of this living in Tennessee, to be honest. I learned this history as people started to say, you know, things like you, like, oh, you're cats, you're this. I didn't know the lore of the history of folk and everything like this. But in the space of being in Tennessee and seeing the correlation of how, you know, this is history. It's been a powerful thing to have it revealed to me this way. Because I wasn't trying to be, you know, I don't think anything with Afro-Appalachia, or I just made music that I thought would help me on the journey of my life. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the journey of your life, because you were born in Liberia.
Yeah.
And in the midst of civil war and all of this violence, your life changed forever when you were 7 years old.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what happened?
Absolutely. So my mom, you know, she's a working woman, and so she's had a couple kids along the way. A lot of them passed away during the war. So me, my brother Timothy, my sister Tikumbla, who we call Jacqueline because the other name's just super hard to say. You know, us three, we lived. And she kept us and raised us as best she could. She passed away in childbirth with our other brother. And so it was just my grandmother, you know, taking care of us at this time. And one of my aunts decided to go and literally just bring me to them. Like there was no, I mean, it could have been my sister, it could have been my other brother that was chosen, but she picked me up and said, you're going to go live with this family. And so from that day on, I lived with them. Yeah, just in Liberia. And we lived through the war before we went back to the States for a little bit. And I don't think when I became older, I realized how much it did to my mind. I think like being pulled from your land, the language, similarity of people, you know, didn't have the words for it then. No, I didn't speak. I was quiet for a long time. Yeah, my adopted family tells me this all the time. They're like, yeah, you didn't say a word to us. We thought something was wrong with you. I was like, yeah, probably there was something wrong with me. I didn't know who you were. Who are these white people? You know, so, but.
Did you have a sense when you said goodbye to your grandmother?
I didn't know it was goodbye, I don't think.
Have you seen your brothers and sisters since this?
Man, such a tale to get to that. But recently I did make contact with my sister after a long time of really not paying attention to anything about it. So it's been a very hard thing to come to terms with.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll continue to come to terms with it for your whole life. I think that's how something that traumatic actually works.
Yeah. It is something that I wasn't ready for most of my life to look at. As I lived the American experience, I think it's so easy to feel ashamed of where you're from, even if it's you had no part to play in it. So I try to kind of just bury a lot of those things and forget.
And how is that working?
the past is always in the undertow, in the choices that you make, and it never left until I looked at it and was ready to accept the truth.
What do you remember about what your life was like before this happened, like being a kid growing up in the middle of this really violent war in Liberia? Because, you know, in case the person listening doesn't understand, like one of the things that was happening is they were taking young boys like you and turning them into soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah, my two brothers, Saturday and Emmanuel, they fought in the war, you know, ages 5 to 10. And I grew up I was born in the midst of the fighting already. So all I would have known is chaos and violence. But before that, Liberia was a very beautiful place. I mean, some of the friendliest people, and there was a lot of good going on. There was a dictator that came in bringing child soldiers from neighboring countries into Liberia, overthrowing the government, and from there, kind of descending the country into chaos. It destroyed everything. I mean, even to this day, you know, Liberia is still trying to recover. But there's no law, you know, and you're obeying five-year-olds with AKs and RPGs, you know, like telling you, get on the ground, you know, we'll take your sister, and you have to listen. It's actually kind of insane to wrap your head around that that's possible.
One of the things that you said that was, I think, very relatable is that this sense of feeling a deep sense of shame about either where you've come from or your past or what's happened, even though you had no part to play and you are not responsible for what happened, and yet you carry that with you. What would you say to the person that's listening that either feels that same sense of shame about their past or about where they've come from or about where they are now, or somebody that they love is feeling that way, about like what's possible in terms of how to move through something like that?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I mean, for me, and I can only say it from my own standpoint, but I would tell you that there's so much more, I would say, beyond the past. And you can't let the past hold you and take you out of the world that you are meant to be a part of. And it did that to me for a very long time. And I sat and wallowed, wilting, just blaming myself for a lot of things. And it's such an easy thing to do, as Mel said. But I hope you know the beauty of knowing that life is long and every step leads you somewhere beyond the things that want to capture you and take you back. And the past is like this a lot to all of us. And I would just hope that, you know, that you always make it up your hills and around your corners, because you just never know when good comes. And but it takes continuing. So
continuing. What does that word mean to you?
That word to me, I think that's my whole life has been that word, actually. It means finding another day. You know, for me, there were so many times I wanted to quit and lay down and say, I can't do this. I can't overcome the survivor's guilt. I can't overcome the truth of, you know, the feelings I have with my, you know, my mother and things like this. And I would tell myself through the gray, find another day to quit. And it helped me to make it through each day. I'd be like, not today, I'll find another day. And though I continued again, find another day, I continued again until, you know, as choices come, I started to make better ones.
Having navigated the complexities of perseverance and self-acceptance, the conversation now shifts to the nuances of communication and vulnerability as we delve into the importance of expressing one's true feelings.
So,
you know, one thing, yeah, I want to validate, because I noticed you said I wasn't the best speaker. And I think for me and the person that's with us right now, we're like, no, you're a pretty good speaker, actually. I think the accurate thing, and I'm just going to say this, and you tell me if this feels right to you,
yeah,
is you didn't feel safe saying what you needed to say.
That is accurate.
And it goes back to that sense of being a watcher in life.
Yes.
That I think we've all had an experience where we're stepping back and we're in a mode of protecting and not wanting to hurt anybody, not wanting to say the wrong thing. And I say that because, you know, I look at the various things that people write in about that listen from around the world. And maybe as you're listening, you've said yourself, I'm not really good at communicating. I'm not really the best speaker.
Yeah, true.
I would have you ask yourself, is that it? Or are you more concerned about making sure everyone around you is not upset
or confronted by
what you actually are feeling and want to say? And so I love this takeaway that journaling became a space that you created for yourself. One of the things that I read that you said that I would love to dig into is, I used to be in love with my suffering. What does that mean?
It became something I thought I deserved. And so in that, I accepted that exact thing, that I'm meant to suffer. And a lot of people do that. I for one, easily did that when it came to anything that I went through. I said, you know, I deserve this, because I would look at my life and the choices I made, and it all goes back to Liberia for me. Because I wanted to forget them. I wanted to pay them no mind, to not even respect, you know, the lives of the people lost there. I just wanted to be American. I just wanted to go to college, go to play my sports, have all these things in life. And when I was in college, it came to a head. My mind literally shattered. I was so depressed and had no course. And so I said, you know what? I'll just suffer. Like, this is my penance because I, of all the things that all the time I wasted in America, not utilizing the gift of having an opportunity to do something. I put everything of that on myself. My mother dying, I put that maybe if Timothy or my sister Jacqueline were here, maybe one of them would have been a doctor to do something even more useful. Maybe one of them would have done something that where they could give so much back to Liberia or whatever. I didn't think of anything. I became American happy and did my thing. And when it came, and when I realized this, when I was older, looking back, I said, wow, I wasted a lot of time doing absolutely nothing for what my story deserves.
And I know the person listening either knows somebody like this,
yeah,
or they are that person. I deserve bad things.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Wow. How did you turn this around? Talk to the person that's with us and just share a little bit with, like, what was the epiphany? What, like, how did you turn this around and go, wait a minute, I don't have to do life this way?
Yeah. I mean, I was on Lookout Mountain, Georgia. I was up there with some roommates, and I was doing drugs, drinking like crazy. Couldn't pay my rent, doing odd jobs, and just not caring about anything. Everything that I had went to alcohol. And I woke up one morning knowing that I wasn't going to be able to make my rent, anything like this. I was borrowing money from all my dad's friends, people that he'd know. Like, I was texting them, can I have some money, just to pay my rent? But it was always going back to other things. Mm-hmm. And of course, it got back to him one day, and he calls me up, my father, and he's, son, I want you to, come to. And he'd asked me times before. And this brings me back to just speaking to that person. There are people in your life that have stayed, whether you see it or not, or want to see it. There are those that have stayed, and they're the ones that have been there for you in the dark night, have whispered to you, don't say that about yourself. No, you don't deserve that. And when you fall in love with your sufferings, when you decide not to hear those people anymore. Mm. And so for some reason, I was at such a low point in my life. I remember I said, I have nothing else. And so I took this hand that was extended for my father. And I left Tennessee. I said, Dad, I have nothing else. I'll come. I don't know what this is going to do. I don't know. So I went to California, and all I did was build this house with my father, me and him, because he was building the house in Dana Point, California. And some days he would leave and go to the church, and I would just be home by myself for hours, tearing down the house, taking out the nails, breaking down walls. And that alone time, it's what healed me. I saw the correlation of the destruction of this home to rebuild something new. Mm. And I thought, can I do the same thing to myself? And it was just a powerful thing to me to be working with my hands on this house and making it beautiful at the same time working on inward things. And but I would say to the listener, notice the hands that are extended towards you at all times. And because they're the ones that are going to help you come out of that place. I don't think it's something you can really do alone, to be honest. The need for each other is the only way I think the world continues, is to know that we rely on each other for moments such as that.
Talk to me about the name, because your name was John Jay. Is that right?
Yeah, it's my birth name.
Okay. And so you change your name, though, to Monrovia, which is the capital of Liberia.
Yeah.
When did that happen, and why did you choose to do that?
Happened after I went to California. Yeah, in the building process, music finds me again. Because at this point, before that, I wasn't really doing much music. I was just trying to live and overcome. Mm-hmm. But when I got back to California, started to really dive into these things, I started to fall in love with music again and writing the truth. And I remembered, I said, if anything came from this, it can't be about me anymore at all. And I said, I need to remember my people and where I'm from to keep me on course, to keep me grounded.
That's it for today's summary. To stay up to date with more summaries and news, follow us on X and Instagram and visit our website podsummarizer.xyz. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or complaints about the content displayed, please do not hesitate to write to us at info@podsummarizer.xyz. Thank you for listening.